Let's call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:35 p.m. on Monday, February 12, 2024. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary, make sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Dylan Williams from the Juneau LIO, who make sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Senator Kaufman, Senator Giesel, Senator Tobin, my Vice Chair, Senator Keel, myself, Senator Claim. We have a quorum to conduct business. Today, our first and only order of business today is Senate Bill 163, Animal Adoption Records, sponsored by Senator Myers. This is the first hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Here to present the bill is Senator Myers and his staff, Teresa Wolfstead. If you will identify yourselves for the record, and you can begin your remarks.
Thank you, Chair Klayman, members of the Judiciary Committee. For the record, Robert Myers, Senator for District Q, and joining me is my legislative aide, Teresa Wolfstead. Today we're going to be presenting SB 163, an act relating to adoption, animal adoption, and foster care records. Before my aide presents the sectional analysis for the bill, I'd just kind of like to speak to the sponsor statement and the reasoning behind it. We have a situation in the North Star Borough and some other municipalities around the state in regard to animal adoptions. Borough animal control officers will go out and pick up stray animals, and they will hold them then at the shelters while waiting for an owner to claim the animal. Once the animals are unclaimed for long enough, they will then put those animals up for adoption. That's what we hope will happen. The problem comes weeks or months later. The original owner finds out that the animal was adopted out. They then submit a public records request to find out by whom. On occasion, the original owner has then harassed the new owner using the address or phone number provided in the public records. A few municipalities in the state generally withhold adopter information and disclose if they determine the public health, safety, or welfare requires disclosure. However, the standard is that a municipal entity can only withhold information from a public information request if there is a threat to safety. This requires an analysis of each public records request to determine if there is a public health, safety, or welfare concern. It is important to note that the municipality cannot ask a public record requester their specific purpose for requesting those records. Unless animal control has a history or a reason to reach out to the adopter to ask if they have concerns, the information is released. Mr. Chair, obviously this is a less than ideal situation. SB 163 aims to solve this situation by making the names and personal identifiers of people adopting or fostering animals not subject to a public records request. By doing this at the state level, we are also providing cover for our municipalities who are just trying to protect animal adopters. While, of course, we see value in public scrutiny of government records, we also want to protect people's privacy. The proposed exemption fits in with the other exemptions already in statute. And with that, Mr. Chair, if you'd like, Ms. Wolstead can go through the sectional analysis.
Unless there are questions from the committee, Ms. Wolstead.
Thank you, Chair Klayman. Members for the Judiciary Committee, for the record, my name is Teresa Wolfstead, legislative aide for Senator Myers. So Section 1 of the bill amends Alaska Statute 40.25.10A, exceptions of public records disclosures, by adding records that include names, addresses, and other information identifying a person who has adopted or is providing foster care for an animal. And there is only one section of this bill.
Questions from members of the committee to either Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question, and I might not have all of the information, so I apologize for not looking in the previous components of this section of law. What about someone who's doing an investigation? If you know that there might be some allegations of animal cruelty, or there might be some reason to suspect those adopting multiple animals might have some sort of nefarious action, would this unintendedly make those records more difficult to access for investigators or for animal control or those who might be providing that public good?
Through the chair to Senator Tobin, I'd like to call a lifeline on that one. I believe that is not the same thing as we're talking about public records requests versus somebody doing an official investigation. But I do have, I believe we should have Jill Dolan, the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, Fairbanks North Star Borough Attorney on the line. We've also got Christopher Loscar, the Animal Care Director for the Mat-Su Borough, and Kimberly Embert, the Shelter Operations Supervisor from the Fairbanks North Star Borough, online as well.
And they all show online, and the top of the list is Jill Dolan, the Borough Attorney for the Fairbanks Borough. So we'll, Ms. Dolan, did you hear the question from Senator Tobin and the lifeline request from Senator Myers?
Thank you. Through the chair, this is Jill Dolan. I am the Borough Attorney for the Fairbanks North Star Borough. So Senator Myers said it correctly, that wouldn't impact our ability to coordinate with the Alaska State Troopers or for our animal control officers to do an investigation. It would limit the public's access if they were trying to do that investigation on their own. We do occasionally also, in addition to getting requests for animal adopted records, we get requests for our investigation records. And we do our own analysis of that request to see if we can withhold those, which is slightly different than the animal adopter request.
Senator Tobin?
To answer the question.
And I assume this is for Ms. Dolan?
Correct, it is. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a follow-up. Do those investigations always stem from an animal control operator, or do entities like a adoption facility or a foster care facility ping an investigator to say, hey, we think there might be something happening here and we would like for additional inspection of these particular adoptive parents, or I'm not sure what we're supposed to call these folks. I think they're adoptive parents, animal adoption folk. So I guess the two part of that question is, where do those investigations stem from? But also, would this provision or the statutory change prohibit animal care facilities from also accessing those records if they might have a suspicion that someone is engaged in nefarious action with adoptive pets?
Thank you, through the chair. So typically speaking, we are a complaint-driven system for things like that. So any citizen can make a complaint, whether they're a private animal rescue organization or whether they're just, you know, a concerned citizen. And those complaints come into our animal control office, and then our internal animal control officers either investigate or sometimes they refer to the Alaska State Troopers. Every municipality handles things differently. So whether they have independent facilities that are doing investigations or not, they wouldn't be doing it. Well, maybe they would. If they were under contract, they could be doing those on behalf of the municipality. In which case, I assume the Public Records Act applies to that private entity because they are an agent of the municipality. Maybe I didn't understand the question.
Senator Tobin, any follow-up? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Myers, perhaps an ill-formed question, but I'll do my best. Generally, the benefit of a broad public records law is that we don't know what the public's going to want or need the information from, but it's information for, but it's information from the government, so it ought to be available. You expressed reluctance to limit this exception from public records. I notice elsewhere in our Public Records Act exemptions, we do have limitations based on potential risks. So if it involves law enforcement, you don't have to give a public record if it could reasonably be expected to endanger somebody. If it involves infrastructure, you don't have to give a public record if you reasonably expect it could interfere with endanger lives or interfere with public safety. Is there a reason we wouldn't limit this one too? In the similar way, a reasonable expectation that someone will be endangered?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, I suppose the difference between what you're expressing is as exceptions versus what we're talking about here is what you're talking about involves state employees of the state, things owned by the state. What we're talking about here as far as adopting animals has to do with private citizens. For myself, I would tend to err on the side of privacy when it comes to private citizens. with the exception of an official investigation, as Senator Tobin brought up, I'd have a hard time coming up with a reason that somebody really would need to care about a guy down the street, you know, in the neighborhood adopting an animal, why he would need to get those records from the borough. For myself, I would tend to presume something is not being requested for good reason, because I have a hard time coming up with a good reason. I would tend to just err on the side of privacy of the individual.
It's a good answer. Thank you. A question then about the specific language you've chosen. Records that include this information would be accepted. Do you envision that as allowing for releasing the records with the personal information redacted, or does that make the whole kit and caboodle non-releasable?
Through the chair, I think I would like to call the lifeline on that one back to either Ms. Dolan or somebody from the Division of Animal Control.
We'll start with Ms. Dolan.
Hi, thank you. Through the chair. The way it is worded, it would include the records broadly, and then it includes other information identifying a person. So a lot of times we'll get an animal dropped off in our facility for some reason or other, and there'll be records that are generated other than just the adoption paperwork that would contain identifying information. So this is broad enough to allow us to redact those types of records.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. It's worth thinking about whether we want to craft this so that it is specific to the redaction, so the personally identifiable information can be removed, or whether we want to keep the entirety of the record non-disclosable. Thank you.
Let's see, one question. I'm not sure whether it's Senator Myers or whether you want, but just for clarification, we talk about health, safety, and welfare inquiries. It's my sense that although this is often about pets, that the health, safety, and welfare that we're talking about is humans and not pets. But we haven't, although many people might wish we are, we haven't sort of heavily gotten invested in health, safety, and welfare investigations as to pets.
Chair Clayman, I'd say that that's relatively accurate, that, you know, primarily we're looking at the health, safety, and welfare of the owners, other people in the owner's household, not necessarily the health, safety, and welfare of the animals, too, although I'd say that that should probably be taken into account, but we're primarily aiming at humans here.
Senator Giesel.
Well, there is a complication of the shot records, right? So is there a scenario where a neighbor or maybe someone even a mile away, the dog's gotten out of the yard, bitten somebody, you know, can those shot records be obtained by the injured individual? Shot records.
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, we were involved with a bill a couple of years ago having to do with just number of people, let me rephrase that, number of cases broadly in an area having, you know, you could request how many cases of, say, rabies was in an area, something like that. There was a bill passed that narrowed that down so you could only ask for the number, not the personal identifiers, which had been previously the case. As for shot records in case of, for example, somebody got bit, I would like to ask somebody from Animal Control exactly how they handle that. I don't believe that's going to be affected by this bill, but I would double check with Animal Control.
So we have two from Animal Control, and strictly just because of the order they're on the list, we'll start with Kimberly Imbert, Shelter Operations Manager from Fairbanks North Star Borough Division of Animal Control. If you need us to rephrase the question, we can, but if you heard the question in Senator Myers' response, if you could provide your input on that. Ms. Imbert.
Could you rephrase again?
Senator Giesel.
Sure. So the animal has bitten someone, and the injured individual can identify the dog, can they get the shot record? I mean, maybe they don't need the name and address and so forth of the owner and other information related to the owner so much as the shot record on the animal.
I might have to defer to Ms. Dolan, but typically the shot records are obtained by our animal control officers and not by the victims.
Follow up, Senator Giesel.
So the victim can inquire of the animal control people then as far as the shot records for the animal?
I believe so. But I know that for our policies and procedures, we do share that information with victims, like if we know that the animal was vaccinated.
Thank you. Of course.
But I don't.
Thank you for that. Of course, my question relates to if this bill would change that.
Right. So that you're describing current practice, and Senator Giesel's question is, would this legislation mean that essentially I come and say my kid was bitten by the neighbor's dog. Is the dog vaccinated? Could you tell me that? Today it sounds like you can. If this bill passes, would you be limited on telling me that?
I don't believe so, but I think that question is probably better directed to Ms. Dolan.
All right, Ms. Dolan.
Thank you. Through the chair, no, this would not limit us from being able to release that information. We would still release that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Senator Tobin, did you have a follow-up related to that or related to anything for that matter?
I was going to inquire, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to inquire about rural communities that might not have an animal control officer and trying to find this information. Let's say it was, goodness, this would not happen, but a mushing dog or an Iditarod dog that was in a small community and bit a young child or bit someone, how would they find that information? But that is not my actual question. I am looking at the statute, and I might have a nuanced question here, but Section A says every person has a right to inspect a public record in the state, including a public records in recorder's offices, except, and then the changes, records that include names, addresses, or other information identifying a person who has adopted or provided foster care. Well, I've adopted a dog. Would all of my public records now be unable to be requested by someone because of that particular provision with the way that this is written?
Through the chair, Senator Tobin, the way I'm reading it, it's identifying a person who has adopted. What you're speaking of, there could be plenty of records about you, for example, your driving record, but those records wouldn't identify that you have adopted an animal. So I don't believe that that would apply.
I think that is my question. Just with the way it's worded, I'm curious and might ask for alleged legal support just to ensure that that is the correct interpretation.
And Senator Tobin, are you asking Senator Myers to make inquiry, or you're going to make inquiry on your own?
Okay.
All right. I don't see any other questions from the committee. And we're then going to go to invited testimony. I would just note as an aside that I have learned that animal adoption in Alaska is very frequent compared to other states is not all that complicated, but the notion that, for example, somebody that is the dog's third adopted home, the notion somebody could start looking and trying to figure out where the dog is now and might be unhappy that the dog has moved or the cat has moved on is an interesting topic, and the notion that somebody would start harassing folks because they actually took the pet in is kind of disturbing, which is what you're trying to prevent. All right, Senator Giesel.
So that raises the question of the chips that are put in the dogs. Mm-hmm. Okay, being an adoptive fur mother, my dog didn't have a chip when I rehomed it, and so I had the chip inserted. Can those be readily read by other people, not a veterinarian, with the tool, whatever it is they use? And then connect to the website where that dog now is registered with my name, address, etc. Do you have any idea about that?
Mr. Chair, I'm defer to the animal control to talk about that as well.
So Mr. Loskar has not answered a question. We're going to give you this one. trying to share the wealth.
Good afternoon, Christopher Loscar, Matsu Borough Animal Care Director. As far as the chip scanners are concerned, really anyone can purchase a chip scanner and use that to scan a chip. There are multiple chip companies out there that maintain those databases. And depending on which company it is, will they give that information out? It's entirely up to them. The other thing is chips will have to be registered. The new owner would have to go in and register that chip with that particular company if that animal changes hands. That doesn't happen all the time. So we frequently get animals that are chipped to someone that is a previous owner and it's never been updated. So because there's no true consistency to how these databases are maintained, it's really difficult. I don't know if that actually answered your question or not.
That's great. That is very much an answer to my question. So this bill, however, Senator Myers, would only pertain to our state of Alaska records. We have no control over private vendors.
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, that is correct. This is only dealing with state or municipal records, wouldn't have anything to do with what's maintained out of state, what's maintained by a private company.
Follow up?
Senator Giesel.
Or what's maintained by a private veterinarian?
Senator Giesel, through the chair, that would be correct, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Reminder for all of us with dogs and cats with chips that if we should transfer ownership, that we should encourage transfer of the ownership with whatever company is managing that particular chip, which I always thought there were only one or two companies that were doing the chips, and apparently there's many. All right. I don't see any other questions from members of the committee. We're going to go to invited testimony. We're joined by first Michaela Anderson, who is here in person, Strategic Projects Coordinator, Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor's Office. Ms. Anderson, please come forward. We generally try to limit invited testimony to 2 minutes, but sometimes we're flexible.
Chair Claim and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity to testify today. It's good to be back in Juneau today. For the record, Michaela Anderson, Strategic Projects Coordinator, the Office of the Mayor at the Fairbanks North Star Borough. I need a longer business card. This bill, it became a priority that was passed by our assembly after issues where there were harassment of animal adoption owners. And we see this as an opportunity to protect our citizens' privacy as well as their safety. For example, one situation that happened when a less than stellar individual of our community arrested, their animals are then surrendered / seized, and the time passes by to where then they are available for adoption. These animals are adopted out. This less than stellar individual is out of jail. They then go, where are my dogs? And they look up the people that adopted their animals and then proceeded to harass them. If that kind of person, I mean any person, but if that kind of person came to my door, I would not be as inclined to participate in adopting animals from the shelter. And I'd probably have a little shell shock from that. So, excuse me. We see this again as not only a protection of our citizens, but also of our municipality, removing some of that gray area as far as are these records a matter of health and safety, or are they just somebody looking for adoption records, which then protects our municipality from potential litigation in the future as well. So we appreciate Senator Myers carrying this bill and his staff for putting work in on it, and we appreciate movement out of the committee. So short and sweet. I think I was under 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. I don't see any questions. So next we have online, we've heard from him already once, but Christopher Loscar, Animal Care Director, Matsu Borough Animal Care and Regulations. Mr. Loscar.
All right. Good afternoon. Christopher Loscar, Animal Care Director of Matsu Borough. I want to thank Senator Myers for bringing this bill forward, and I would appreciate your office reaching out for our input. Thank you. As a municipal government agency, this bill would apply directly to our operations. I believe this bill is reasonable and necessary legislation. This acts to safeguard the personal privacy of the members of our communities. It also helps to ensure public safety. We have also experienced safety concerns when releasing personally identifying information, especially in cases where an animal has been forfeited due to cruelty or failure to provide humane care, and then those animals become borough property and then they're adopted out. And then we have had that same issue where the former owners try to get that information. Also cases when animals are surrendered and then people have a change of heart, but the animals have already been adopted out. We've had issues with that too. I believe that this will also potentially encourage people to adopt and foster more animals, knowing that their records are being kept confidential. And more adopters and more fosters, that decreases in shelter stay times, and that ultimately is a benefit to the animals. So I want to thank you for this opportunity, and my testimony is also accompanied by a letter of support from our mayor and our borough manager, and I'd be glad to take any questions that you have.
Senator Kaufman has a question. I should say Senator Kaufman has a question.
Thank you. I appreciate that distinction. Through the chair, I guess to Mr. Losker, what's the duration of stay that you hold an animal to provide the opportunity for the owner to perhaps find that animal and know that it's there?
So, through the chair, so for our shelter, if an animal comes in without identification, so without a microchip or a tag identifying an owner, we hold it for 3 days. And after that, it becomes borough property. If it does have a microchip or other identification, it's held for 5 days, and we make every effort to contact the owner before it becomes borough property.
Senator Kaufman.
Thank you. Through the chair, and I would ask of our other shelter manager, but what's the protocol there? What's the duration of stay at your shelter?
Ms. Imbert.
Our duration of stay is similar. If there's no identification or known owner, it's 72 hours, 3 business days. If there is a microchip or an identified owner, it's 140 hours or 5 business days. In instances of protective custody, it's 10 business days. So if an owner is brought to jail, for example, and a peace officer brings us the animal, so there can be longer periods of stay in those circumstances.
Thank you.
And Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What if someone was incapacitated, hit by a car and in a hospital, or had some other circumstance where they were unable to get to a shelter within that 72 or 5 day or even 10 day period of time? What would be their mechanism to hopefully get back their valuable furry friend?
Is that a question for me? Sorry.
I think you were the last answering, so we'll probably get you first and then go to Mr. Losker after that.
So we do everything we can possible to get in contact with a next of kin, or if they have a power of attorney, because then people can designate someone else to come pick up their pet for them, or if they have, someone else available if they're incapacitated.
And Mr. Losker's kind of same question.
So we also have a similar process for protective custody and incidents where someone is hospitalized. We will try to find a next of kin or someone that, if that person is capable of making the decision, they can designate to pick up the animal. Other than that, if they don't, we can hold that animal until they are released from the hospital and are able to reclaim their animal.
And a follow-up from Mr. Loscar, the North Star Borough talks about business days, 3 business days and 5 business days. Does the Mat-Su Borough actually do the same business days, or do the weekends count in the Mat-Su for the 3 days and the 5 days?
For our stray holds, for the animals that either have ID or don't have ID, it's actually just by the hour. So we're at 72 or 140 hours. And that's from when the animal is brought in and we do the intake. That's when the clock starts.
Thank you. Other questions for start with Mr. Loscar. Any more questions for Mr. Loscar? I don't see any. Ms. Imbert, you actually are next in queue for invited testimony. I know you've answered several questions, but you are also signed up for invited testimony, so please proceed.
Okay. Thank you for having us. Kimberly Imbert, Fairbanks North Star Borough, Division of Animal Control. I'm the operations supervisor. This has been something I've been really interested in for a very long time. I've worked here at our shelter for nearly 13 years, and I started out as an animal tender doing a lot of adoption visits. I know that there's always been a high interest in why an animal's at the shelter, and part of that interest is because of potential adopters want to know if there's going to be anything coming afterwards. You know, they want to know if there's any reason for concern for them to be kind of wary of. We have had some concern for situations when we have known history of a person, when they have either threatened in the past or if they are just known to be kind of more of a dangerous person. We have been able to withhold some records in cases where threats are made obvious, but sometimes people are not so clear and we can't prove it. And, you know, for ways to withhold that kind of thing for public safety. And we do have to take that into consideration for pathway planning, because we do business with some individuals that are scary and that are a threat to, you know, staff and public safety if they were to be upset about something such as their pet. We have had some things happen where people did act when they were displeased about their animal being adopted by someone else. And they can be creative. Like we had one person who had all of the microchips of the adopter of their previous pet transferred under their name, so they can get kind of creative and causing difficulties for adopters if they can't intimidate them. And we get animals for all kinds of reasons, you know, urgent vet care needs, domestic disputes, if someone else in the household surrenders the pet and it's not really theirs, but it's not identified so that anyone would know, or stray holds that the owner couldn't afford the fees. So we do see a lot of unhappy people, and it's unfortunate, but it does impact getting animals out of the shelter quicker if people are worried about that kind of thing. And I've seen that kind of traffic on social media because it's easier to make that apparent to people. And, you know, we want the best outcome for our animals, but we do take public safety into consideration if someone is, in our eyes, extremely dangerous. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
I think we've been asking you all the questions before you even got to your invited testimony. So I think you're in good shape. Thank you very much. We don't have anybody else for invited testimony. And I think Ms. Dolan has answered multiple questions, and I'm sure if there were more questions, we would have called her out. Any further questions from the committee for the bill sponsor or his staff or the guests online? At this time, we are going to hold Senate Bill 163 for further review, and we're going to adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Wednesday, February 14th at 1:30 p.m. if you're considering offering an amendment to Senate Bill 163, Animal Adoption Record, sponsored by Senator Meyer, please let our office know and submit them electronically by 5 p.m. on this Friday, February 16. And with that, we will stand adjourned. The time is now, actually, I will make one note that the next time we do hear this bill, we will have public testimony. But with that, we will stand adjourned. The time is 2:10 p.m.